Well, look, you've talked about caffeine. I'm going to talk about booze. Because you might remember last year, and this really is a longer-term story, and I would like your opinion and also the opinion of people at home on this, because last summer, you might remember there'd been all this talk about introducing a minimum price for alcohol. The idea being that we know how much alcohol costs. If we had a minimum price set for a unit, that this might deter people who are problem drinkers. And it looked like it was going to be introduced into law, and then it was suddenly thrown out. Well, the British Medical Journal have this week devoted both an editorial, a big investigative piece to this by a journalist from Essex, actually, and also there's quite an interesting commentary written by a couple of researchers from Britain. And it puts the case for why we ought to have a minimum price for alcohol. And what I thought I'd do is just read this to you and see what you and people at home think about this. So this is by Nick Sharon, who is a clinical hepatologist, so a liver specialist from the University of Southampton, and also a lady called Kate Eisenstein, who is the senior policy advisor for the Royal College of Physicians in Britain. And they say the mean weekly alcohol consumption of patients with alcoholic cirrhosis is around 15 bottles of white wine or 5 bottles of vodka, 20 litres of super strong lager or 20 litres of strong white cider brewed with fructose. That's per week. As a result, irrespective of income, these very heavy drinkers tend to opt for the cheapest possible alcohol, which is currently about 30 pence, that's about 50 cents in Australian or US, per unit. The average low-risk drinker, so that would be someone who goes out for a social drink, perhaps like you or me, already pays around £1 for a unit of alcohol because they're presuming you're a bit more discerning, Ginny. You don't go for the low-cost, strong stuff. And so the impact on low-risk drinkers, they say, is negligible. And on pubs, it's zero because people are already paying over that cost anyway. They then go on to say a minimum price of 50p per unit of alcohol would mean that a 700ml bottle of vodka with a typical alcohol level of 40% would cost £14, which would make it difficult for the heaviest drinkers to maintain their alcohol consumption without a significant increase in their expenditure. Then they go on to say, well, look, we acknowledge that all purchase taxes are regressive. In other words, if you tax things more, the poorest people are going to pay more tax, so it's going to hit the poorest harder, which is always a concern. But then they say, the effect of alcohol-related harm on deprived communities, though, is savage. There's a threefold excess mortality between the most deprived and the least deprived socioeconomic groups. And they then go on to say, and this for me really crystallised it, taxpayers are already paying for the harm that alcohol causes. According to the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, alcohol misuse currently costs the UK 2-3% of gross domestic product. The turnover of Britain, that's a huge amount of money. This equates to around £12 a week for each of the 60 million or so UK inhabitants, of which only £3 comes back from the drinks industry in taxes. So that means moderate drinkers and non-drinkers in the UK are subsidising heavy drinkers to the tune of around £9 a week. The alternative to minimum pricing is a general increase in alcohol duty, and it's precisely because minimum unit pricing is so targeted that it's so effective. In Canada, where they had a minimum unit price for years, a 10% increase in the minimum price resulted in a 32% decrease in directly attributable alcohol-related mortality. Sounds compelling, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, particularly that last statistic, because before that I was thinking that it might make some people stop drinking, but the people who are really hooked, they're going to find ways of getting that money and they might resort to crime or they'll end up not having enough money to eat because they're spending it on the booze. But the statistics from Canada seem to suggest that that's not as much of a problem as I thought it might be.
Yeah, but I still remain slightly concerned that we might end up with some people who will just sacrifice everything and then also supplement with some crime to top up. So I think there's always a worry, but it does appear that you can achieve quite dramatic reductions with this sort of intervention. I would be interested in what people at home think as well. Do you think we should have this, and why did the government sling it out? The British Medical Journal have evidence here suggesting they think it's because there's some kind of interaction between the government and the drinks industry, and they've been lobbied to reverse the decision. I think it would be actually, in my view, quite a good idea.
Thanks, Chris.